Text 106. Virginia Woolf. Clarissa's party.
What business had the Bradshaws to talk of death at her party? A young man had killed himself, and they talked of it at her party. The Bradshaws talked of death. He had killed himself. But how? Always her body went through it first when she was told suddenly of an accident. Her dress flamed, her body burnt. He had thrown himself from a window. Up had flashed the ground. Through him, blundering, bruising, went the rusty spikes. There he lay, with a thud, thud, thud in his brain, and then a suffocation of blackness. So she saw it. But why had he done it? And the Bradshaws talked of it at her party. She had once thrown a shilling into the Serpentine, never anything more. But he had flung it away. They went on living. She would have to go back. The rooms were still crowded. People kept on coming. They, all day she had been thinking of Borton, of Peter, of Sally. They would grow old. A thing there was that mattered. A thing, wreathed about with chatter, defaced, obscured in her own life, let drop every day in corruption, lies, chatter. This he had preserved. Death was defiance. Death was an attempt to communicate, people feeling the impossibility of reaching the centre which mystically evaded them. Closeness drew apart. Rapture faded. One was alone. There was an embrace in death. But this young man who had killed himself, had he plunged holding his treasure? If it were now to die, 'twere now to be most happy, she had said to herself once, coming down in white. Or there were the poets and thinkers. Suppose he had had that passion and had gone to Sir William Bradshaw, a great doctor. Yet to her, obscurely evil, without sex or lust, extremely polite to women, but capable of some indescribable outrage, forcing your soul, that was it. If this young man had gone to him, and Sir William had impressed him, like that, with his power, might he not then have said, indeed she felt it now, life is made intolerable. They make life intolerable, men like that. Then, she had felt it only this morning, there was the terror, the overwhelming incapacity, one's parents giving it into one's hands, this life to be lived to the end, to be walked with serenely. There was in the depths of her heart an awful fear. Even now, quite often, if Richard had not been there reading the Times, so that she could crouch like a bird and gradually revive, send roaring up that immeasurable delight, rubbing stick to stick, one thing with another, she must have perished. She had escaped, but that young man had killed himself. Somehow it was her disaster, her disgrace. It was her punishment to see sink and disappear here, a man, there, a woman, in this profound darkness. And she forced to stand here in her evening dress. She had schemed, she had pilfered. She was never wholly admirable. She had wanted success. Lady Bexborough and the rest of it. And once she had walked on the terrace at Borton. Odd. Incredible. She had never been so happy. Nothing could be slow enough, nothing last too long. No pleasure could equal, she thought, straightening the chairs, pushing in one book on the shelf, this having done with the triumphs of youth, lost herself in the process of living, to find it, with a shock of delight, as the sun rose, as the day sank. Many a time had she gone, at Borton when they were all talking, to look at the sky, or seen it between people's shoulders at dinner, seen it in London when she could not sleep. She walked to the window. It held, foolish as the idea was, something of her own in it, this country sky, this sky above Westminster. She parted the curtains. She looked. Oh, but how surprising! In the room opposite, the old lady stared straight at her. She was going to bed. And the sky. It will be a solemn sky, she had thought. It will be a dusky sky, turning away its cheek in beauty. But there it was, ashen pale, raced over quickly by tapering vast clouds. It was new to her. The wind must have risen. She was going to bed in the room opposite. It was fascinating to watch her moving about, that old lady, crossing the room, coming to the window. Could she see her? It was fascinating, with people still laughing and shouting in the drawing room, to watch that old woman, quite quietly, going to bed alone. She pulled the blind now. The clock began striking. The young man had killed himself, but she did not pity him. With the clock striking the hour, 1, 2, 3, she did not pity him with all this going on. There. The old lady had put out her light. The whole house was dark now with this going on, she repeated, and the words came to her. Fear no more the heat of the sun. She must go back to them. But what an extraordinary night. She felt somehow very like him, the young man who had killed himself. She felt glad that he had done it, thrown it away while they went on living. The clock was striking. The leaden circles dissolved in the air. But she must go back. She must assemble. She must find Sally and Peter. And she came in from the little room.